Hello, everybody. Zechariah chapter, that's in the Old Testament, Zechariah. It's almost just a little bit before Matthew. So Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. No, that's the wrong chapter. Those are the wrong verses. Chapter 9, verse 9. It says 9 there, doesn't it, sir? Yeah, go down a little bit, verse 9. There we are. This was it. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king. So this is the coming of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. See, your king comes to you righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey. Can I put this down just a little bit? Gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So there we've got a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim. Chariots speak of war. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem. And the battle bow will be broken. He, this is the person who comes on the donkey, the king, he will proclaim peace, not from the back of a horse, but from the back of a donkey. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. So we've got a donkey and we've got a horse. Now let's look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 12. That was a prophecy. That was written a long time before Jesus ever came. Over 500 years before. Now this is the actual fulfillment here. Verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He'd walked. The only time we ever see Jesus not walking is when he rode on a donkey. He didn't have a bicycle. He didn't ride on anything else. He only rode on a donkey. So the next day, when they heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, having walked a long way, they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! The word Hosanna is a Hebrew word. It means save. Save. They're looking for salvation, you see. Someone to save them from the problems of life. But as time went by, it became more a proclamation of praise. But the literal meaning of the word Hosanna is save. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name Yahweh. This is a quotation. It says Lord there, but it's from Psalm 18. These are what they call the Psalms, the Hallel. Hallel Psalms. Hal from Hallelujah. El from El Elohim, which is the name of God. So it's the name, the Psalms of praise. Psalm 113 to Psalm 118 and verse 25 to 26. The last of those songs of praise, the Hallel songs of praise to God. These words are from that Psalm. So this whole story is looking back to something in the Old Testament, something that was prophesied. And so they say, Hosanna, save. Blessed is he who comes in the name Yahweh. Used to say Jehovah, but these days we say Yahweh, which means the great I am, the creator, the almighty. That's what it means. Now, if you put Hosanna and Yahweh together, which they do in Hebrew, to make one word, you get Yehoshua. Yehoshua. And the word Yehoshua, if you transliterate that into Greek, it becomes Iesus. And if you put Iesus and bring it into English, you get Jesus. So you combine Hosanna and that Lord Yahweh, you get the name Jesus. It was no accident. He was there prophesied right there in the Old Testament. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name Yahweh, because he was Yahweh, the Lord Almighty. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written in Zechariah. Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your King is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had already been written about him. And that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb. This is actually the last week in the life of Jesus. 7 short days in the life of Jesus. And it starts with Lazarus being raised from the dead. Now this crowd that saw that wonderful miracle, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread his word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said one to another, "See, this whole thing is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Now there were some Greeks amongst them. These were the outsiders, the riffraff of the religious society. There were some Greeks amongst them who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." So, Palm Sunday. And the last week in the life of Jesus. With this lovely weather, it's good to get out and walk, isn't it? I hope you're doing your... You don't only need a balanced diet, you know. You need good exercise as well. Rachel and I go out and walk every day. And we went for a walk recently, a new walk we hadn't been on before. And we went through this big field. And we walked and we came... There were horses in this field. And when we came back, there were 2 stallions there. Do you know, these stallions were enormous things. They stood so, but one of them was particularly tall. And as we were coming, there were 2 of them stood up on their back legs with their nostrils flaring and saliva coming from their mouth, and they clashed their hoofs together. And, we got a bit of a fright. But we gradually, there was no way round. We went round the edge of the field. But this big one, it came towards us. And I said, "Rachel, you stand by me and you'll be all right." But the horse went right for Rachel. And it stood over Rachel. And I stood and, you know, it looked like a giant over Rachel. And I thought, well, if I went to war, that is what I would choose. I would choose a horse like that. And that's what Alexander did, didn't he? He won his battles from the back of a horse. But then we walked into another field. And in this other field, we saw a donkey, and it was standing right at the far edge of the field, up against this wall. And I looked at this donkey. You know, the horse, it was perfectly in balance. This wonderful tail, plume of the tail, and it was beautiful. And I looked at the donkey. It had very big, long ears. It all seemed out of proportion to me. Very wide body, but very short legs. It was very docile, very quiet, very peaceful, with his head down, standing against the fence. And I thought, well, if I wanted to conquer the world, I wouldn't do it from the back of a donkey. I would do it from the back of a war horse. And that's what we read about. We saw the donkey in Zechariah, and we saw the war horse. But when the Messiah came to reveal himself, when he came to bring salvation, when he came to bring righteousness, when he came to bring peace to the world, when he came to reveal himself as the Saviour, the Messiah, he didn't do it from the back of a war horse. He did it from the back of a donkey. Because the king, you know, the donkey walks slowly. There's no great rush. Jesus wasn't going into Jerusalem as the judge, as the king who was going to conquer them with the sword. But he was being in righteousness and peace and salvation. And that's why we celebrate it today, Palm Sunday. We remember the great king, but he came in meekness and gentleness with blessings. Shortly after this, he stood on the hill and he wept. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you together, but you refused. You didn't want it. For that Jesus is the one here today. He's come with righteousness and peace and salvation to bless the people of this world, not from a war horse. You know, this was not an accident. It wasn't a whim. It wasn't on the spur of the moment. This was planned. 500 years beforehand, it was written there in the book of Zechariah. God knew all about it. God is never taken by surprise. I've been teaching the book of Daniel to our church recently. And I don't know if you know about Daniel chapter 9, but there's a wonderful, remarkable prophecy there. God told Daniel that after 483 years, someone would come to Jerusalem, the anointed one. He would come to bless. But although he came to bless, he would be cut off. He would be killed. After 483 years, he would come, the anointed one, to Jerusalem. I don't know if you know, but in the Hebrew calendar and in the Babylonian calendar where Daniel was, there were only 360 days in a year. So if you times 360 times 483, is anybody any good at mental arithmetic? 360 times 483 equals 173,880 days. So that's a big number, 173,880 days. But Daniel said, don't start counting straight away. It's when the proclamation goes out to return and to rebuild Jerusalem. When you hear that, start counting. Because after that proclamation is made, 173,888 days, someone will come into Jerusalem, the anointed one. The anointed means the Messiah. Well, the mathematicians have got to work. And especially one mathematician who was he was in the Royal Observatory, and he got did all the mathematics about this. He looked at all the leap years, and there was a proclamation made by King Artaxerxes on the 1st of Nisan, that's a month, the 1st of Nisan, 445 BC. So if you take the 1st of Nisan as the starting point, when this proclamation was made, 445 BC, and take into account all the leap years and all the new moons, and count 173,880 days, you come to the 10th of Nisan in 32 AD, which was almost certainly the very day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. I'm 100% convinced, and most of the evangelical world, there are a few doubters, but that was 32 AD. On the 10th of Nisan, on the 14th of Nisan, Jesus died on a cross. But it was on the 14th of Nisan, the 10th of Nisan, that Jesus got on that donkey, according to that predetermined plan of God, and he rode into Jerusalem. On the 10th. You know, on that very day is the day when the Jews picked out the lamb. They picked the lamb on the 10th of Nisan. And the lamb was kept for 3 days until the 14th. In order to be observed, the lamb had to be perfect, you see. It had to be without blemish. And so the Israelites were given 3 days to make sure their lamb was not sick, that there was no blemish in that lamb. And on the 10th day of Nisan, that is when Jesus, the Messiah on the donkey, He was not only the Messiah on the donkey, but on the 14th we find that he was the sacrifice on the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That Lamb had to be perfect. And during those 3 days, there was not a soul could find any fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was no accident. God has his perfect plan. And that gives me comfort in my life. When things happen, when things take me by surprise, when things come along that I'm not expecting, I know that there's a sovereign God in control. Even before I was born, he knew my days. He knew the beginning from the end. Said that to Jeremiah. Before you were born, I ordained you. I anointed you a prophet to the nation. God knows your life. He knows its beginning to the very end. All we need to do is to submit our lives to him. This was one of the Psalms. As we mix Hosanna with Yahweh, we get Jesus. And because Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, we can sing that hymn that we sang at the beginning of this service. Hosanna to the King, to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heavens, for Jesus, the Messiah, reigns. It's a wonderful thing. He came. He came on the donkey. He came on the donkey in order to bring righteousness and peace and salvation. That meant that he had to go to the cross as the Lamb of God. Not only the King on the donkey, but the Lamb upon the cross. But when we get to Revelation, we see the conqueror on the horse. He will come, not yet, but he will come to judge the nations. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time of opportunity. We can either receive Jesus now as Saviour, or we will face him then as judge and conqueror of the nations. They use palm branches. If you look in Leviticus, they're mentioned in two places. Leviticus, when they had the Feast of Tabernacles, they made those bowers with palm branches because they're lovely thick fronds that cover up. It's a very good thing to make a hut from. So they had palm branches, and in Leviticus it says, and rejoice. So the palm branch was a symbol of rejoicing. When you come to Revelation chapter 7 and you see that great multitude before the throne of God, they had palm branches in their hands and they rejoiced before God. So these palm branches speak of rejoicing. And these people were rejoicing because they had seen, they had a sign that this was a man with power. This was the Messiah in control of the universe. They had seen it with their own eyes. A man who had been in the grave for 4 days. His body was stinking. It was putrefying. It was going rotten. And yet Jesus called him from the dead. And there he stood forth before them, alive and well and healthy. That's the Messiah. The one with all power and all authority. And the very next day, we see Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, anointing his feet with precious ointment, worth, now listen to this, that ointment was worth probably £26,000 because it was an insurance policy. But she didn't need an insurance policy. She had Jesus. And she put all her security in him. And she anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And all her glory had gone. She didn't need glory. A woman's hair is her glory. But now she had the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the very next day is when we have Jesus coming in a donkey and the people waving the palm branch. They're rejoicing, you see. Mary was rejoicing. Lazarus was rejoicing. Martha was rejoicing. The people who had seen it was rejoicing. This is a man with power, with authority. This is the Messiah. The day of rejoicing. We need to rejoice. Are you glad in the Lord? Do you rejoice in the Lord? I think one of the things that puts people off more than anything else in this world are Christians. Because there's such a miserable bunch of people. We should be rejoicing in God. We've got everything to rejoice about. But 4 days later, this Jesus was on the cross. But then 3 days after that, he was alive again. He rose again from the dead. So from Lazarus raising the dead, up to Jesus himself rising from the dead. 7 short days. Just 7 days. And shortly after this, we find some Greeks coming and saying, "We want to see Jesus. We've heard the report about him. Now we want to see it for ourselves. We want to see Jesus." And when Jesus heard this, he said, "The hour has come. The hour has come." This was just before the cross, by the way. "The hour has come that the Son of Man must lay down his life." 1 short week in the life of Jesus, and the whole world was changed. History will never be the same again because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hour has come. Maybe your hour has come now. If you've never trusted Jesus, now is the time. Maybe you are a Christian, but you've never deeply submitted your life to him. He wants everything you have. He wants the totality of your life. Maybe your hour has come this morning to totally submit yourself to him. I'll never forget, I told you this last time I was here, the 15th of May, 1956, at 9:30 in the evening, the hour came for me. And I trusted Jesus Christ as my Saviour. 16 years of age, just coming up to my 17th birthday. And for the first time in my life, I knew what it was to see Jesus. I saw Jesus. He became my Saviour. And my life was transformed. And I was totally and absolutely changed. Maybe this is your time now. Jesus rode into Jerusalem. It's not just something that we remember. It was something that was prophetically told by God beforehand. Jesus came on that donkey in peace to bring salvation. Salvation means to be saved, to be given life. Would you like life? Abundant, overflowing. Well, it's yours this morning if you're willing to submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful story of the Lord Jesus riding into Jerusalem on that donkey, bringing peace and righteousness and salvation. Many people that day found it, but a lot of people in Jerusalem rejected it. We pray, Lord, that have mercy on our world. Have mercy on the places we live. Have mercy on our relations. We want them to find Jesus, to see him face to face. And so we pray that you will just bring them into the kingdom of God. And so we pray your blessing on us now as we bring our meeting to a close. In his precious name. Amen.